This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Really glad to have this young lady on. She's an author of a new book out. It's called They're Lying, The Media, The Left, and The Death of George Floyd. Her name is Liz Collin. Liz, how are you? Good to see you.
Joe, thanks so much for having me. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I appreciate that you listen to the program and that you're one of the two or three fans that I have out there. And I really love that this book, it's just timely for me because here we are in a midterm election cycle where people are still claiming that police are racist and defund the police and crime isn't really an issue. It's because of racism in America. And a lot of this goes back to the loudest voices came out of the death of George Floyd. George Floyd was a guy who was either passing fake money or a bad check or something, and a shop owner called the police, and all hell broke loose from there. But if you just, from 30,000 feet up, if you're just showing up in our society, you think George Floyd was anointed. You think that he was an angel, and the police sought him out because he was black and killed the guy. And your book is basically saying, no, they're all lying to you.
Well, Joe, I'll say that I had a front row seat to all of this. I'm married to the now former Minneapolis Police Department's union head. He has since retired from this incident. But I was a longtime news anchor at the CBS station in Minneapolis when this all went down. The angry mob came after my husband, came after me as a result of this, too, and forced me from the position that I had for 14 years. But just backing up, as you're saying, I know you have a lot of Minnesota listeners, and I often listen to them call in because there is such a frustration now after what happened on this day in May to what's transpired now. People are just fearing for their safety daily, and that's something that never happened in Minneapolis. And basically what happened here, the lies that were told here in Minneapolis have played out across the country, and we're all kind of paying the price for this movement. And partly I witnessed as a media member how we pushed this racist narrative from the very beginning, when I knew full well there was a lot more happening behind the scenes, a lot of information that was being hidden by the police department, by the media. The right questions weren't being asked. We saw this play out right afterward. We saw it play out in court. And again, it's something that I've been putting together for the last couple of years and finally have the freedom to talk about it and to release this book.
It's called They're Lying, The Media, The Left, and The Death of George Floyd. You may or may not know this, but I was the main anchor at the CBS affiliate in Albany, New York for 3 years. And before that, I was 14 years at the anchor desk. And I know these news meetings that you have before the newscasts are put together. The producers are there, the executive producer, the news director, and the anchors have a lot of input because the words are coming out of your mouth. So were you arguing, hey, let's get the facts on this? Were they pushing a narrative that you were pushing back on, and that sort of made you persona non grata?
I do know that about you, by the way, Joe, which is why I've always been a fan. I'm like, another survivor. absolutely. So I'm privy to this information, being married to who I'm married to. But also, I've covered a lot of crime stories just over the 20 years I've been in broadcasting, and I've just never seen such a cover up. And it really bothered me as a journalist. It obviously bothered me as a wife and a mom and such too, but there was such a commitment to this one story when we're seeing public documents disappear, essentially. You'll remember the body cams in this case. The body camera video was withheld, right. And that was a choice by the actual police department and the authorities investigating, the FBI. That hasn't happened before, and the media was just sort of lockstep and not asking any questions about that. We know now that there was a reason they withheld this information.
Well, what's interesting is, and you may or may not have heard me say this during that, not that you were focused on my show during this time, but I said immediately, release the body cam. This is going to either alleviate the charges against the cops, or it's going to show us exactly what George Floyd was doing on that day. There's no way you just go with somebody who is a bystander taking a video on his or her camera and act like that's the whole story. We know that it's not. Because normally what happens, Liz, and you know this better than anybody, what happens is an event starts, and then you grab your phone, and then you start recording the phone. and you only see the aftermath or you see the middle of the event, you have no idea in context what happened before that. The body cam is going to show all of that. What was the reasoning they gave for not releasing that? I think that would have saved many businesses in Minneapolis. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it's so interesting, just the timeline that plays out with all of this, Joe. So not only the body camera footage, which normally will come out in a day or two,
right,
but the autopsy report, which is done within 12 hours of George Floyd's death, that information is privy to the medical examiner. Even prosecutors are meeting behind the scenes with the medical examiner, which is showing that there is no damage to the neck area. There are the drugs in George Floyd's system, et cetera. But again, that information is held a week later. That's why we call the part of our book, when we get into the autopsy, the point of no return, because it truly was. At this point, part of Minneapolis had already burned to the ground because they decided to also withhold that. And when it goes to what you're talking about with the body cam videos, there still has not been a good reason as to why they withheld that. And at first they were saying that would re-traumatize the community. But really, it's because the police chief had already spoken out against these officers. The mayor, if you remember, spoke out against these officers, and they didn't really want to know the full backstory, it seemed, from the very beginning. Just to remind people again, this was a presidential election year,
yeah,
and they were dead set on ousting President Trump at the time, and 100% what happened in Minneapolis went along with the presidential election.
Go to the website, thelieexposed.com, thelieexposed.com. They're lying, the media, the left, and the death of George Floyd. It's the author, Liz Collin. Liz, I want to talk about the toxicology a little bit, because most people watching and listening right now still have no clue that he was full of fentanyl, he had meth in him, he had all sorts of stuff going on, he had some sort of heart condition already. If you don't mind, and again, I want everybody to go and buy the book, I don't want you to give out everything that's in the book, but this toxicology report is available online. He was not an innocent guy who was not loaded full of drugs that day. He had a lot of stuff in him.
Absolutely, and it's something that was completely, again, overlooked by the media. For years, I've been covering, sadly, opioid overdoses when it came to high school students, to the pop star Prince, who's a Minnesota native as well. But it was amazing to me how George Floyd had a lot more fentanyl in his system, 11 nanograms, when overdose cases are reported at sometimes 2.5, just
right,
3 nanograms per milliliter when fentanyl's in their system. But the media came out with headlines that drugs did not play a role, or drugs were not a factor. And in our book, you can see for yourself the actual reports. Things are highlighted, and there's different documentation for people to be able to follow along. And that really was covered well by the medical examiner, but also the same day that autopsy report is released, Joe, the family releases that exact same day, just hours later, their own independent autopsy report. And we saw the media basically bring that one up again, talk about that one and again, and the only findings in that autopsy seem to show the quote directly is George Floyd died from what you see in the video.
And of course, that's not an autopsy report, and the official report was ignored. But I've got to ask you this. It's Liz Collin. She's written a book called They're Lying, The Media, The Left, and The Death of George Floyd. Go to thelieexposed.com. You're sitting in the news. You're still in the newsroom at that point, right?
I am, yep.
And you get the toxicology report. That's the official report from the coroner, the medical examiner. Do you guys report it? Do you bury it? Do you only report the other so-called autopsy report that really isn't?
Well, this is what we did again and again where I was working before. We gave a platform to these people, protesters, peaceful protesters, if you will. We heard that again and again. We took us a long time to even, refer to them as rioters in the newsroom where I worked before. But there really were no checks and balances. You're talking about burying things. That's 100% exactly what was going on. We would listen to the people who are basically on the payroll, if you will, for George Floyd's family. Different attorneys, activists were being paid. So these are the people that are in front of the cameras constantly. And
yeah,
and I've never seen a story before where we don't even care about the other side. There was really no attempt to even find that. And for the first time, we're actually hearing from Thomas Lane, former Minneapolis police officer, now behind bars. And we're also hearing from Derek Chauvin as well for the first time in the book. What really happened? Their side of the story. It's a story that I don't think that side that the media has even wanted to tell at all.
And here's the problem, though. And it's Liz Collin. Go and get this book. It's thelieexposed.com is the website. It's doing very well on Amazon. Here's the question I have, though. You and I are like-minded. We both came up through the ranks. We worked our faces off out there reporting on, you know, street crime to get ourselves to the anchor desk. And then we moved our way up from there to I'm a nationally syndicated host and you're out here writing great books. But in the coming up in what we did, I wanted the big story. I'll give you an example. I was in Michigan as a television news anchor. John Engler was the governor. I'm a conservative. I like John Engler. I put a microphone in his face and I questioned him harshly about somebody got out of some halfway house and killed somebody. I didn't have any problem doing that because I wanted the big story. I wanted to report it. Like, nobody puts a microphone and a camera in the face of Biden, his son, Hunter Biden. Why not? You break that story, you've got the biggest name in journalism on the planet. So in the newsroom, what's the excuse? You want to break the big story. We want your affiliate to have the number one ratings. Why wouldn't you go after it? Is it purely political? Is it because they were afraid of being called racist? What was it? Had to be something.
Absolutely. Everything you're saying right there with politics and that R word, there is definitely a fear, I think, among the mainstream media. Just my own personal experience, Joe, I'll say that I had two protests outside my house as a result of this story. And that's because of who I was married to. Keep in mind, I never even reported on this story while I was working there because of a conflict of interest. Right. But, I was demoted from the anchor desk and I never anchored again after this, even after my husband retired, which is why I had to leave. And I went into conservative media, but where I work now, at least we're honest about the bias. What I couldn't stand is that there was no honesty when it came to the bias of where I worked before. But I do think that, the angry mob sort of rules the day, cancel culture. And also, I feel like reporters now are so focused on social media and it's built into this egotistical thing that I don't quite understand. To me, stories are about other people, not about yourself as a news reporter. And I've always believed in the facts and both sides. But definitely the media landscape has changed over the course of my lifetime, no doubt about it.
But again, you and again, it's Liz Collin. Go and get her book. It's called They're Lying, The Media, The Left, and The Death of George Floyd. Go to thelieexposed.com. I just want to reiterate what I just said, and I think that you agree with me. We're trying to make our bones in this business. We're trying to tell people the truth. We're trying to make sure that we sift through the BS. There are people, a large percentage of people in this country, who still believe Michael Brown was executed on the side of the road in Ferguson, Missouri. And he wasn't. He attacked a police officer, got into a fight, bum-rushed him at 6'5" and 290 pounds, and the cop defended himself in the community. I didn't come up with that. Eric Holder's Department of Justice figured that out. So why is it that we can't tell the truth? You can't be called a racist if you tell the truth. And the truth of George Floyd is he was a drug addict, a habitual criminal, held a gun to the stomach or to the head of a pregnant woman while they ransacked her home. He was not an angel. He wasn't a nice guy. Does that mean he deserves to die on the side of the road? No. Does that mean that a knee in his neck killed him? No. We just want the truth. Had you reported the truth, had the police told the truth, had the mayor's office told the truth from moment one, Liz, do you think that we would have got bypassed all of this violence and all this garbage that happened afterwards?
I do think there would have been so much more understanding if they went frame by frame of this body cam footage. You'll remember, too, the police department said never heard of George Floyd. We've never had any interaction with him. Well, in the book, we cover a prior arrest that took place a year before where we speak to the officer who arrested George Floyd. And what does it show? The exact same behavior that George Floyd exhibited that day in May in 2020. But that's a story also the media didn't care about, and that was hidden. This technique that the Minneapolis Police Department that they were using, we were told by the police department, this isn't a part of training. We don't train that way. Well, then why is it in the police manual? The police manual goes offline for 3 weeks before it's put back online in late June, which contradicts the fact that this isn't the way they train.
Right.
So these are things that I thought the media should have been. That's the whole point of the media, right? We want context. We want facts. We want to be able to understand what we're seeing. But there was really none of that. With what played out here.
And what I watched in that video when the body cam finally came out, George Floyd, first of all, wasn't some little meek little guy. He's 6'6", 240. Okay, he's a big, giant guy. He's in there allegedly committing a crime inside of a shop. He's arrested, put in the car, And he's freaking out because he's, in my opinion, he's tweaking on drugs. And he wants out of the car. Man, put me on the ground. Don't leave me in here. They take him out. They follow what he wants. They put him on the ground. And then he starts yelling for mama or something. Mama, it turns out, is what he called his girlfriend. His mother had died a long time before then. And the guy dies. And I don't say, how do you say mama? How do you say anything if you can't breathe? So, again, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a medical examiner. I'm just a guy seeing what I see, reporting what I see. We were never told these facts until the city burned down. I mean, somebody's got to answer to that, don't they?
Well, and we saw also politicians just fanning the flames from the very beginning. They made it about race. Did we even know in the beginning that other officers were involved, including a black officer, a Hmong American officer? Derek Chauvin was married to an Asian woman. So it was all built up about...
I've never heard that before. Liz, I've never, ever heard that. Nobody told us that. But you're right. They made it white guy racist. That's it. That was the story.
Yep, exactly. And I think it's divided this country. And I think we can peg it right on a few different people in Minneapolis that made it happen. And we're calling them out for the first time in this book.
The book is called They're Lying, The Media, The Left, The Death of George Floyd. You know what people ask me all the time, Liz? How did they know each other? They were both bodyguards or something over at some club or somewhere. They had to know each other. Did they or did they not? Were they friendly? Were they not friendly? Did Chauvin know that he was dealing with a guy that he'd worked with?
Yeah, actually, they did not know each other. That was one of the things that came out in the beginning that also wasn't true. So they did not have any sort of past. Derek Chauvin actually volunteered to even be working that day and showed up to help the other two rookie officers when he heard that they had struggled for about 15 minutes getting George Floyd into the squad car and happened to just pull up on the scene. Another group of mixed race officers, Chauvin was partners with Tu Tao at the time, and just thought he would try to help.
They just made up the whole relationship that they even knew each other from having worked together at some nightclub or something that didn't happen?
I think that that was just something that was perpetuated in the beginning by the owner of a business that was not true.
And what's interesting about that, if that's true and the media ran with it, maybe they were trying to act like he had some sort of a vendetta against the guy. They were writing this story as it went and never truly told the truth, did they?
100%. Yep.
Wow. It's Liz Collin, author of They're Lying, The Media, The Left, and The Death of George Floyd. Go to thelieexposed.com. Thank you for telling the truth. Thank you for being a real reporter who's actually letting us inside of what it is that we didn't know. I found out things today. I thought I knew a lot about this case, but I found out things today that I hadn't known before, and I can't wait to read the book. Liz, thanks a million. Come back, would you?
I absolutely will. Thank you, Joe, so much. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you. We're back after this. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pag Show.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Glad to have you. We appreciate Liz Collin coming on. Again, go to that website. Make sure you grab this book if you want to find out exactly what really happened with George Floyd. It's all documented. It's all fact. She gives it straight to you in this book, so make sure you go and get it. You just go to this website, thelieexposed.com. Thelieexposed.com. The name of the book is They're Lying, The Media, The Left, and The Death of George Floyd. And again, so many lives would have been so much better, and so many businesses would still be open, and that city would be so much safer if, in fact, the truth were just told. The lawlessness that happened after George Floyd's death is something that's completely not okay. It's unacceptable. And I'm glad that Liz put it down on paper and tells you the truth about what happened in that case. And I guess we hear from, I've been calling him Chauvin. I guess it's Chauvin. We hear from Derek Chauvin, the former police officer, for the first time as well about what really happened that day. He wasn't given that much of a chance to do that with us either. Now, he's been convicted. He's appealed. But as it is right now, he's a convicted murderer. We'll see what happens as we go forward. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stop by the website right now, joepags.com. Follow on social media and send me an email. Keep it here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.